I'm Kevin, a compulsive eater. A lot of you know this. This is one of the events that I used to consider a homecoming because I see people here I haven't seen in years. Mary Ann was at the first retreat I went to in 1993. She was one of the speakers. Okay, there's several people here that I haven't seen in a long time, and I'm just grateful to actually see them again. You know, it's kind of like Attitude of Gratitude was many years ago. People came home for Thanksgiving, but they stopped by and met again. So, you know, it's just part of the fellowship, basically. Let me qualify a little bit. You know, I've had my ups and downs in this program. Some of you know that. I've been around since, well, my email address is tdk91692, because that's the day I went to treatment. It was September 16th, 1992. TDK stands for That Damn Kevin, but that's a whole different story. So I've been around since, what, a good 24 years or so. You know, and I've had my ups and downs, you know. But to qualify, I can tell you that I've never left the program the whole time. And I'm still over 190 pounds below my top weight in this program. And I'm on a decline right now. I've been relieved of about 70 pounds over the last six, seven months or whatever. So I've surrendered again, and that's what we do. When necessary, I should say. Some of us went to the past retreat, and I think the ongoing theme for a lot of those people was that just keep coming back. Okay, so the miracle can happen, and for that, the speaker, it didn't happen for many years. If I remember, she admitted that it didn't happen for many years. So just keep coming back, you know. And that's one of the common things in this program. One of my pet peeves is I go to meetings, you know, and events like this where there's a theme, and then people don't talk about the theme. You know, it's the control freak I have in me, in particular. I go to a big book meeting where we read a story out of the big book every week, and then nobody talks about it at all. You know, they just share other things. And that's just my stuff. You know, as some people know, I disagree a lot with this program, but I'm here because I need this program. You know, the thing about it is, one of the common themes here is, you know, that the big book talks about, you know, we're like survivors of a shipwreck, you know? I'm bonded by this common affliction. I like to call myself a compulsive eater because I want to include anybody that is compulsive about their eating, you know? The bulimics and the anorexics, and anybody who feels compelled to use food in a particular way or not use food in a particular way. You know, so that's part of my story. God put me into a treatment center many years ago, which mimicked my home life, you know, my where I grew up. Basically, I have four older sisters. I'm the only boy. I was mothered to death. And because of that, God put me into a treatment center with a bunch of controlling anorexics and bulimics, mostly. You know, and I couldn't identify with them at first. And there's compulsive eaters as well, compulsive overeaters as well. I mean, I couldn't identify with them until we had a step study, and step studies then were a lot different. Step studies then were then different than we kind of experienced. Basically, feedback and crosstalk were encouraged during those step studies. Okay. And what happened was we were reading step two, and step two in the OA book, you know, and this was before it was just the OA steps. There was no traditions yet. We used the AA 12 and 12, but the OA one was just a manuscript at the time. We read step two, and you know how it talks about all the crazy things we did about food, you know, throwing it out, purging it, taking it out of the garbage, putting it back in, taking it out again, doing all the disgusting things. And I remember we read that, and then someone mentioned I think it was an anorexic, in fact. She says, well, I've never done those things. And we just all kind of looked around, and you know, we all had big smiles on our face and just burst out laughing and sharing all the disgusting things that we did with food, you know. And just kept on sharing our stories. I had my own particular story, which I won't share here, but the thing about it is that I was united with these people for that reason. You know, I had a common affliction, a common illness that bound us together. The nurse had to come in and break it up. We were laughing so hard. Really. And that's just never happened before. I finally identified with that. You know, so I continued in the program, You know, some people know, you know, I disagree with a lot of things in this program. You know, Catherine will tell you that, wherever she is. Okay. Catherine can smile at that. Stacy can testify to that as well. Jerry. No more. Okay. But I disagree with a lot of this program, but what I don't disagree with in this program is that I need it. You know, I'm here for a particular reason. Some of the things that also, besides the compulsive eating part, some of the things that bind me here are some of the character defects. You know, the AA 12 and 12 talks about, you know, defiance is the number one characteristic of the alcoholic. You know, and I need it. You know, it's the same thing for the compulsive eater. I need to be assured that, you know, that the people here were in it for mine. For my reason, that they had no, you know, no ulterior motive or something other than to get better, and the Big Book talks about that as well. You know, that they have no ulterior motive except for the desire to be helpful. You know, when I did my fifth step, my sponsor looked at me and just said, you know, well, now that you realize you're a piece of shit, what are you going to do about it? And he was obviously being, you know, figurative, not literal, but. You know, identify with it, because that's all I felt my whole life was. I'm going to read from the Bedevilments, if some people realize that, because that always broke it down for me. You know, we were a prey to misery and depression. We couldn't make a living. We had a feeling of uselessness. We were full of fear. We were unhappy. We couldn't seem to be of real help to other people. You know, I don't know about you, but that's what I have always felt. You know, outside this program, and that's what this program has done for me is. I've had that feeling of usefulness now. I have a sister who's in, you know, she's incredibly bitter right now. She's the one that actually kind of forced me into the program many years ago, but she's incredibly bitter right now. And I pray for her every day that she has a feeling of usefulness, you know, and utility and a sense of purpose, because that's what I need and that's what I get out of this program, is that feeling of usefulness and some kind of purpose. I'm trying to think of what else I had in mind here. This is my favorite book, the Daily Reflections book. And I have a large print one, but of course, I didn't bring it because God knows why. But I also have a large print AA big book and a 12 and 12 and a nice leather bond sitting on the shelf pretty. It's too nice to use. You know? It's just too nice. It just kind of looks there nice. So I go to all the small stuff like that I've had for years. It said... on February 19th, people care. This is the AA Daily Reflections. You know, I was thinking of an AA. I'm sorry, I was thinking of a movie, Fighting Forrestal, well, Sean Connery, and he played a Pulitzer Prize-winning writer. And he was asked by a student, you know, why do you read the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, and then you can read the National Enquirer? And he said. You know, he picks up the Times and he says, this is dinner, but this is dessert. National Enquirer was dessert, okay? I read a lot of OA literature, you know, the For Today, the Voices of Recovery, all those stuff. I read those and everything. And that's dinner for me, but this is dessert. This has always been dessert for me, okay? And I just want to read from it. On February 19th, it says, I'm not different. In the beginning, it was 4 whole years before AA brought permanent sobriety to even one alcoholic woman. Like the high bottoms, the women said they were different. The skid rower said he was different. So did the artists and the professional people, the rich, the poor, the religious, the agnostic, the Indians, and the Eskimos, the veterans, and the prisoners. Nowadays, all of these and legions more soberly talk about how much very alike they all of us are alcoholics. And when we admit that the chips are finally down, that's when I admit it, you know, that I'm a compulsive eater when the chips are finally down, when my life is on the line. Because once again, defiance is the number one characteristic of this compulsive eater. You know, so I'm going to add, you know, what it took me to, you know, like I said, I've been around for 22, 23 years. And I'm going to just tell you what it took me for me to stay in this program. You know, what actually took me to continue in the program in the beginning and then in the end. I was in denial, even in treatment, for the longest time. And what it took, it takes what it takes sometimes. It took actually a bulimic nun to actually tell me that I was full of shit. And that's the word she used. She said, that's bullshit. You know, and be a good Catholic boy. When a believing nun tells you that, you know, what you're saying is bullshit, you kind of listen. I have no choice but to listen there. You know, I can't remember what I was saying, but, you know, being that I said it, it probably was bullshit. But, you know, I just kind of stared at her. She just looked back at me, and she was in treatment, too. Actually, a bulimic nun. I can't make that up. Okay, an elderly bulimic nun. And, you know, once that happened, it took her to open my eyes. It took a little anorexic girl named Nikki to squeak at me, say, any length for your recovery, Kevin? And it took an exercise bulimic therapist to break down and cry at the same time and confront me on it. Okay? And we used to go to all kinds of meetings when I was in treatment. We had NAAA and some OAs. It was mostly OA Howes because that's what was around there. You know, and it took the men in Howe to introduce me to this program. You know, so it takes all kinds, and it takes what it takes to be here. You know, we used to go to these meetings. They used to pack us into this big van. The nurse would drive us to a big van. And, you know, they would pack us anorexic, compulsive eater, overeater, anorexic, compulsive overeater, just for seating efficiency, basically. You know, because we had to get them all in the van, you know. You know, it took me a while to, you know, figure out why the bulimics got the window seats, but I remember. But they used to take us to these meetings, and I was introduced to all different meetings as well because of that. So these people practice love and tolerance of others being their code. And that's what it talks about, I believe, on page 88, love and tolerance of others. And that's what I've experienced in this program. You know, and because of it, I've had that feeling of usefulness, you know, and a sense of purpose. And that's what I needed. How much time is left? 5 minutes. Okay. I'm not sure what else I could say on something like that. Come on in. Anyway, when I come to Intergroup and hear some of the crazy things that go on there, you know, that I think are crazy anyway, and people here can definitely testify that as well. That's one of the things I had to practice, is love and tolerance and acceptance. Is because, you know, I'm not going to agree with everything in this program. You know, I'm just a defiant person overall. It's, you know, I pray for the removal of that character defect, of all my character defects. So I list my character defects, which are basically the seven deadly sins. When I pray for their removal, I list them because I need to hear them every time. My excessive pride, my anger, my greed, my gluttony, lust, my envy, my sloth. Paggles is whatever I was taught how by a retreat leader many years ago. Paggles, pride, anger, greed, gluttony, lust, envy, and sloth. And I list those, and I ask God to remove those on a daily basis because of it. And he does most of the time. But, you know, somewhere in the 08, 12 and 12, it talks about if we're angry that our character defects return, then we lack humility, you know. And I need that humility there. I was once told many years ago, what good is humility if you can't brag about it? Well, you know, I need to be humble. When I took the seventh step, I had difficulty with the seventh step because I remember the old AA literature saying, humbly on our knees is what it was originally written at. It was humbly on our knees, ask God. And that stuck in my head. But when I told my sponsor this, he's like, well, just think about what it's doing, how your character defects, which at one time protected me, at one time would have gone awry, once they've gone, you know, once they've taken me down in this disease, you know, and I pray for the removal, I have no choice but to think that I want them removed, that I'm humble, you know, I'm humble by these defects in the first place. So I'm trying to see how I want to wrap it up. Because I do, you know, tend to be judgmental and stuff like that. My favorite prayer is not a common one heard, but some of you AA people might know the 11th step prayer, or the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi. You know, and part of it, I was going to quote it here. Part of it talks about at the end, Lord, grant me that I seek to comfort them to be comforted, to understand and then to be understood. than to be understood, to love than to be loved. For it is by self-forgetting that one finds, it is by forgiving that one is forgiven, it is by dying that one awakens to eternal life. You know, I've died many times in this program, but I've always come back to life because of it. You know, and that's one of the things I treasure that. You know, I also treasure the humor in this program. You know, it talks about us not being a glum lot. Okay, on page 132. But the paragraph after that actually is a better one that I think. It says, "For we think that cheerfulness and laughter make for usefulness. Outsiders are sometimes shocked when we burst into merriment over seemingly tragic experience from our past. But why shouldn't we recover? Why shouldn't we laugh? We have recovered and we've given the power to help others. We've given the power to help others. That's what I came here for in the first place. That feeling of uselessness is gone, and I have a feeling of usefulness now because of this program. So thank you for being here. I think that's enough for me.
Oh, thank you.